We will have another seminar next year in October. I cannot give you the precise dates, but it will be the early part of the month, probably the first or second week. And it will be on the island of Kauai. So any of you who have been delaying a trip to the island, this is a good time to do both. The announcements for it will go out in September, right after Labor Day, and the precise dates will be there. Something is happening to each of us. To try to define it would be practically impossible. Perhaps even to understand it, we would fall short of the mark. But there is a force that knows what is happening to us, and it doesn't like it. There is a force in the world which is now ready to prevent your growth. And because you are reaching the pinnacle of self-realization, this force is gathering in all its fury. Up to now, you have been a very docile captive. By not recognizing the nature of the force or the full power of it, we have, you might say, cooperated with it. But now you appear to be ready to make certain commitments which would liberate you from this force. Your willingness, for example, to drop the sense of mortality and accept and live in your own divinity provokes the world mind. It's as if everything within your heart and soul is known to it. And your intention of becoming the living Son of God, not only as a phrase but as a fact, arouses the total enmity of this negative world force. And so a confrontation is inevitable. The severity of it is something that is almost unspeakable. John dramatized it in the Revelation. It's the ultimate confrontation between the individual aspiring to sonship and the world mind which would keep him mortal, temporary, captive in the material world. John called it Armageddon, and it has been taught as the great warfare between God and evil. It is nothing like that. Armageddon, taught by John, is not an external event to begin with. It's an inner event. It's a warfare within you, a conflict. It's an all-out war which makes your consciousness a battleground. It is a war between your soul and your humanhood. And the severity of it only becomes apparent when you begin to assert your divinity. Many of you in the past have found that when you learn something, the moment you have this feeling, I have progressed, and get this glorious feeling of having made a major advance, all you do is go home and the roof falls in. Something happens, some crisis, some emergency, some attack, and you've had many of those. All of them are nothing compared to the confrontation when you are determined to live as the child of God. It's as if the whole world rises up against you. Whereas before the attacks had been somewhat sneaky and disguised, now they come very blatant, powerful, and direct. Your life is threatened. Your children's lives are threatened. All things dear to you are threatened. Mortal mind has a way of making you appear as if you're standing on the verge of annihilation. And its purpose is now to exterminate Christ in your consciousness. And you say, why? How can a nothing exterminate Christ in my consciousness? Well, the same reason that Christ has not been your prime lifestyle or objective throughout your entire lifespan. Something has maintained a constant vigil over you to prevent you from living as the Christ. And this same something, which has been named Satan, carnal mind, is now just as determined as you to prevent your rising into Christ's awareness. I tell you this not to frighten you, but because it will help you to identify the forces at work that are trying always to prevent the ultimate triumph of Christ consciousness on this earth. To one who is steeped in truth and prepared, there is no alarm. To one who knows identity, there is no alarm. To one who knows that I, the Self, the Christ of God, the Son of God, am one with the Father, to one who is anchored in absolute truth, the uprising of world mind against you is nothing but kindling to the fire in your soul. But if there is a weakness, one vulnerability, world mind will seek it out. And so the purpose of this statement to you is to prepare us to completely eliminate in our armor any Achilles heel toward which a negative force in the world might drive a nail and try to crucify that spark within you which is now trying to become a flame. You must be moored in dependable truth. And this truth now becomes quite different than the memory of principles. It becomes quite different than a truth you can grab onto just because a crisis has arisen. It becomes a truth that is part of your very being. And now that we have but 10 days in the wilderness, the truths we need are strong. They are deep and they are demanding. For every truth that you take now, you must cross out a lie. We are moving toward the divine birth when you realize yourself to be something you have not dared realize you are. Who do men say that I am, said the Christ. Now that's the way you will remember it, isn't it? But I have been quite surprised to find that it is not quite that way. If we look in Matthew 16, the Master says to his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He tells them who he is and says, who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, why at this point does he so specifically identify as the Son of Man? He could have said, whom do men say that I am? But he wanted us to know, without any quibble, who he is. I am the Son of Man. But whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I know who I am, and I want you to know who I am. I want to know also who men say that I am. Do they know that I am the Son of Man? And you know they didn't. How could they? But we were to learn who the Son of Man is. And so important that someday this very Son of Man would come in all his glory. And that's also an interesting phrase. Because he says the Son of Man will come in all his glory. But here he is, the Son of Man, right there, saying the Son of Man will come in all his glory. How can he be there and still say will come in all his glory? And so the physical, visible Jesus is not the Son of Man, is he? For that which will come in all his glory is not the physical Jesus, but the Son of Man. And Jesus was the Son of Man, but the Son of Man is not only Jesus. That's the point. The Son of Man was not only Jesus the Christ, for that Son of Man will come, and to whom? And how does it come? And when it comes, what does that mean? Let's say it will come to you. And when it comes to you, it will come in all its glory. Has that entered your consciousness that the Son of Man is coming to you in all his glory? And who this Son of Man is? Well, we know the Son of Man is not the Son of Woman. But the Son of Man is coming to you. Is that your real identity? Are you going to come into the realization that the Son of Man is you? Is that how the Son of Man comes to you? You realize, oh, I am the Son of Man? I think that's how the Son of Man will come to you. Your realization that it is you, and you, and you. For each of us is the Son of Man, appearing first on earth as the Son of Woman. But never less than the Son of Man, who is before Abraham. I am Jesus, but I am the Son of Man, and I am before Abraham. And therefore, the Son of Man before Abraham is also you. Before Abraham is I am. So you are the Son of Man before Abraham. You are the Son of Man now. You are the Son of Man forever. But who is the Son of Man? This is where the acceptance becomes so important that we must spend considerable time learning to find the precise nature of what is being asked of us. Our first day in the wilderness, I am neither male nor female. This is where the conflict immediately begins. The world mind in you says, too far, too fast, I'm not ready. Armageddon has commenced. The warfare between the flesh and the spirit. The warfare between the mortal and the immortal. Between the timeless self and the self in time. Son of Woman is male or female. Son of Man is neither male nor female. Can you begin a day that way? Will you? That would be your 31st day. I am neither male nor female. For I am the Spirit of God. And the Spirit is neither male nor female in a mortal sense. In fact, the spirit of you is male. And the soul of you is female. On the mystical level. But when you renounce humanhood, you renounce femininity and masculinity as the identity of your being. And the importance of that will never come to you until you have given it some serious contemplation. Was Mary male or female? Was Joseph? Was Jesus? Let us be still. Specifically, he denied that I am the son of woman, but taught that he was the son of man. And yet he had no father in the mortal world. Was he male or female? Or was he infinite spirit? Isn't sex just a human term? Is God male or female? Is the Son of God male or female? Are you the Son of God? Who under heaven can make this decision for you but yourself? But last week I became a mother, and 3 weeks from 3 months from now I'll produce a child. I must be a woman. Yes, that's the mortal picture. Can I be the life of God and you be the life of God? We be the same life of God, but I male and you female. Is the life of God divided into sexes? No. We are transcending mortal concepts of man and woman. We are rising above Adam and Eve. We are not stepping out of the garden of immortality to be man or woman. This acceptance in you will find its most difficult attack from something also within you. The remnants of world mind in you will debate this a long time. And even your temporary acceptance may not be quite as deep-seated as you would like it. The subconscious will rise up. Many things will occur to persuade you that you are borrowing something you don't really believe in. But I ask you to contemplate it very carefully. You need not accept it this second. You need never accept it. But if you wish to give birth to Christ in you, I tell you, you must accept it first. What are the repercussions? What are the conditions after you accept it? That might and could be on your mind. Suppose, I'm signing a blank check here. I'm neither male nor female. What next? Well, no one's going to outline the conditions for you because it's all your personal business. But think on it. And think on it now and often until you can see that the acceptance of it is a step in the path of returning to your Father's house. For the Father and the Son are neither male nor female. Rest on that a moment. If you were to accept it on your first day in the wilderness, there's no telling what conditions you might have to face. But strangely, the world has already turned in that direction. The little woman behind the kitchen pot and the stove is not there anymore. She has liberated herself from that degree of womanhood. And the liberation of the female and the equality sought with the male may be in disguise a step toward the ultimate realization that I am neither male nor female. But anyway, on your day in the wilderness, it's very difficult to anticipate how you will have to use this realization, but I assure you, on the very day that you make this your project in the wilderness, you will be tested in many unusual ways. And from it will come a realization that is possible no other way. Because you will transcend the idea of male flesh and female flesh into divine flesh, which is neither male nor female. I am already the impersonal Christ. And there you go with the impersonalization that has been taught for these some 40 years in the infinite way. How can you impersonalize and still be male or female? Can you imagine walking the earth as a female Christ while someone else is walking the earth as a male Christ when Christ is one? You see, the concept has to go. Overcoming it isn't difficult. The problem comes when you try to live it. How do you live it? But the Father within knoweth your needs. And so the how merely becomes a trust and a confidence in the Father within, who goeth before you. And because we have been developing this confidence, this I don't have to know everything, I can walk blindfolded through this earth with the knowledge that the eyes of God are my eyes. And therefore, if this be the Father's will as it appears to be, as Paul told us it was, there is neither male nor female. If all points to this truth as being a truth that I must know, realize, accept, and live, then it is not my function to get a roadmap on how I'm going to do it as much as to accept it on faith. Knowing that the Father will light a lamp under my feet. For there are so many other things that we must accept the same way. And so I see you, I see your form, I see your configuration. From a mortal standpoint, you are one or the other. But looking through the light of you, there stands the invisible child of God, the Christ. And when you move into your next experience, when you move into the fifth world, you won't be thinking about it, but you won't see men and women. It won't occur to you to look for them either. They simply have no existence in the fifth world, or the sixth, or the seventh. All the Marys are gone, the Johns are gone. There's no Peter. There's no Lydia selling purple. Angels are not male or female. Souls are really not male or female. And so we are preparing for our entry into the fifth world by the acceptance of the situation as it is in the fifth world. And therefore we will begin our day if this is the way we want to go. That's still your option. With that as our daily principle. And so every man uses that principle and every woman uses that principle. Because we are neither men nor women in spirit. Your spirit and my spirit are one spirit. Not two. We moved into the ark of spirit, and all the twos become one. I'm not moving on yet, because I wish this to dwell within you until you come to grips with it. Beneath it, behind it, is a great secret for you. I'm waiting for that secret to come into your understanding. You see, if you have a realization of this, from that moment on, you would walk through this world with the knowledge that you are neither male nor female. And every word you speak, every action you perform, would flow from that focus. Can you see yourself doing this? Can you see yourself not doing this? John tells us in one of his epistles that God is not with you until you realize that Jesus was the Son of Man. And that includes the realization that Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, was neither male nor female. And when you know that the Son of Man, named Jesus, was neither male nor female, and that you are the Son of Man, then you are understanding John's statement. God is not with you until you know that Jesus was the Son of Man. This phrase is going to come back at you many times. There was no male Jesus. There was the Son of Man, neither male nor female. For pure spirit is that. And when Jesus says in the Bible, "I am come that you may have life," he's saying the Son of Man has come that you may have life. When he says, "Lay down your life that you may pick it up again," he means lay down your sense of being a male life or a female life, that you may pick up your impersonal life, which is neither male nor female. Every word uttered by Jesus the Christ was uttered by the impersonal Christ. Neither male nor female, the Son of Man. And when you read the Bible that way, there's a completely new look. That which was neither male nor female made every statement attributed to Jesus the Christ. And said, "Follow me. Pick up your female cross or your male cross and follow me. Follow me into paradise. And when you arrive, the entrance fee you pay is simply correct identity. Who do men say that I am?" Do they think I'm the carpenter's son? Do they think that I was born of woman? That's not your identity. Your identity born of woman is male or female. That's not your identity. Child of God. Infinite. Eternal. Indestructible. And beside you, there is no other. Two for that day. I am the only Son of God. There is no other. To awaken in the morning, I am the only Son of God. There is no other. How can you be the only Son of God? You are not the physical form. The Son of God is an infinite being. You are that infinite being. When you accept it, and your neighbor accepts it, and I accept it, we're all accepting that we are that one infinite being. The differences between us that appear are not true. The way we three look, or four, or 10, or 150, those differences are not true. All that is here is the one Son of God, appearing to human sense as 154 or 55 people. Each making an inner understanding, an inner acceptance, an inner commitment to the fact that I am not this visible one, this male or female. I am the Son of God who is infinite. I do not exist in this chair. There's no place where I am not. Wherever God is, I am, now and forever. I am the infinite child of God. Undivided spirit, one with the Father, eternally. Now to accept the life of God and the Spirit of God, the wisdom and omniscience of God, the allness of God, there's only one way to accept it, and that's to be the One. Never a fragment, never a second. You must be the One, and each who accepts himself or herself to be the One is on the path of attaining that consciousness of Christ which catapults you into the life that is eternal. These are giant steps, but really quite small in comparison to the steps you are going to take. I am the Son of God, the only Son. There is no other. Wherever I go then, that day, wherever I go, because I am the Son of God, after my meditation on that subject, wherever I go, everyone I see, I am. There isn't anyone you can see, anytime, anywhere, who isn't the same invisible Son of God that you are. So on your third day, I am the invisible self of everyone I see. I am neither male nor female. I am the only Son of God. And on the third day, I am the invisible self of everyone I see. I wake up in the morning. I go to my meditation to realize I am the invisible self of everyone I will see today. When someone calls me on the telephone, that is my own invisible self, and I'm going to consciously know it. Even when the tax collector tells me my taxes were underpaid and hands me a little invoice, I'm going to say, that's my own invisible self. And so I have no enemies. I only have the one self everywhere. And whether it appears as male or female, I am the invisible self there. Now do you begin to see why you can be neither male nor female? There cannot be a distinction in the one invisible self. Now don't get the idea that this is like you have a little appliance in your putting the plug in the wall and getting some electricity out of it. You're all electricity, not just where you're putting the plug. You're not plugging into the infinite. You are the infinite. And so everywhere you go, you're greeting yourself knowledgeably, knowingly. There isn't anyone in the universe who isn't your invisible self, and there never has been, and there never will be. If the population of the world rises to 50 billion, every one of them will be your invisible self. You are the self of every child still unborn. You are the self of everyone who allegedly is passed on. You must come to the practice of this. You are the self of Cleopatra and Antony and Caesar. You're the self of everyone who has ever walked this earth. That's why I'm somewhat amused when someone tells me who they were in their last reincarnation. They are the self of everyone who has ever walked the earth. They are the self of every incarnation of every human being who ever walked this earth. I'm not this one and not that one. I'm all. There is only one Son, and I am that only Son. In this awareness, when it is your awareness, who on this earth do you fear? Who on this earth has the power to give or to take from you? Can you take from yourself? Can you steal from yourself? Can you compete with yourself? Can you hurt yourself? Unthinkable. Not in your father's kingdom, only in this silly world. In the illusion, all of these ridiculous things happen. In the one self, only the perfection of the Father is experienced by yourself. Oh, the ramifications of this are enough to keep you busy for the rest of this lifespan. I am the self of everyone who walks this earth. I am the only Son. Being true to that is loving your Father supremely. Father, I'm saying to you that I am your Son. I'm not denying that sonship. I'm not accepting it here. I'm accepting it there and there and there. I'm not denying it anywhere. Within your infinite self, I am not denying my sonship anywhere. For what I deny there, I lose here. And that secret given by Jesus is very clear, that what you deny anywhere, you lose here. So go ahead and persecute someone, and the hangman's noose will be around your neck. Love someone, and the love will return a hundredfold. That which you measure out is measured right back to you. But many times more, overflowing with infinite returns to that which you impart when you send it out. How beautiful to find someone who's learned the secret of sharing. Maybe they don't even know why, but when they have it, they have learned in some way that they are the self they are sharing with. They are sharing with themselves everywhere. Some of these little proverbs, better to give than receive, based on such infinite truth. Abraham stood and he was told, all the land that you can see is yours. The Father says to you, all of infinity that you can accept is yours. That's the meaning of Abraham and the land he was given. You are given infinity, for you are the infinite Son, and as much as you can accept and are willing to work to accept is yours. And when you deny any part of it anywhere, you lose all that you have. To him that hath will be given. To him that hath not, what little he hath will be taken away. All about your infinite sonship. To his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And I say to you, who do you say that you, the Son of Man, are? Are you just a person? Are you just a finite Christ? Or are you the infinite Son? Make the acceptance on your third day in as strong a way as you know how, and live it out that day. You just lost an employer, and you just lost employees. And if you're on a football team, they're all yourself. You're the one-man team. You're even the one-man team that's opposing the team you're on. If you're in an army, you're the whole army, and you're the army opposing you. And if you know this, you're in the secret place of the Most High. And though 10,000 fall at your right and 1,000 at your left, it cannot come nigh thee. If you could just pass this on to everyone in that army, we'd stop having a war. Is there a contagion in the city? Are you subject to the contagion? Not if you're the only one. Then there's no one to pass this contagion on to you and no one to receive it, because the only one is not the visible self. Is there a flood? Is there a fire? Is there such a thing as a flood of fire that can harm the infinite one? And if you've been living as the infinite one in consciousness, can it come nigh thee? You can just run the gamut of all the horrendous things that occur to humanhood and realize that they occur where there is no recognition of the infinite one. Go back into your own previous incarnations. Were they there, or were you then the infinite one? Do you see why there's no past in your reality? Go into every tomorrow. There's the infinite one that you are right now. and all these things that are going to appear in time, in sequence, none of them are you, but you are the infinite one, already there, already everywhere. I am the invisible self of all who walk the earth. I am the infinite Son, the only Son. That doesn't go just for people. The Son being infinite, the Son is where there are no people too. The Son is where a planet appears. The Son is where a mountain appears. The Son is where the river flows. The Son is where the earth seems to be. Can you go that far? Will you make the effort? There is no place where I am not. I am more than just this spinning globe. I am the invisible self of all that is anywhere, at any time, in any place. The Son is infinite. The Son is undivided from itself everywhere. The little mortal is not the little mortal. The little mustard seed is growing into a tree beyond the scope of the human imagination. That is yourself. Can you see that a minute in the awareness of your infinite self is more than a lifetime living in a mortal selfhood? And these accumulating minutes of understanding, of realization, when you touch the truth of it, this is when the oil drops from your soul. Every time you realize I am the infinite Son, another drop of oil forms another light essence for your infinite spiritual body.